Last Sunday, I opened a message entitled, Answering the Question Why? And today we are going to go to part two of that message. Bear with me a minute. So what we did last week was we opened up by reading Matthew 19, verses 16 through 30. I am not going to reread that. We're kind of behind today. But we talked about the main point we talked about last week was why good things happen to bad people, in the sense that we are all bad people, in the sense that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Okay? So, and then we talked about the fact that, first of all, we need to understand that we do all fall short. Second, we need to come to the realization that none of us is good in and of ourselves, and that none of us in our own strength is able to keep the commandments. Because if we break one of the commandments, it's equal to breaking them all. That's why we needed Jesus. Third, we need to understand that God works all things for our good, to our favor. Fourth, we looked at the fact that we need to understand that God has a plan for our lives. He's got a great plan for our lives. Fifth, we need to understand that we are justified by faith. We are justified by faith. All right, now I know that was a very quick recap. I was going to spend a little more time, but somehow we got behind today. I don't know how we did that. But no problem. It's been a great service so far. I feel the presence of the Lord here. He's speaking to us. Amen? So the second major point, and what we want to talk about today with the time that we have, as I mentioned to you in closing last week, why bad things happen to God's people. And we're going to start out under that point reading Revelation 12, verses 10 through 12. And then we're going to pray. Revelation 12, verses 10 through 12. Beginning to read in verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time together. Lord, we just pray that you would bless your word today, that you would put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you have ordained today for us to hear. And I just pray, Lord, that it would not be a word more or a word less than what's in the center of your will that comes forth. And we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So why bad things happen to God's people? Well, we see, first of all, in the passage I just read, that one of the answers to that is for the accuser of our brothers. Who's the accuser? Satan, yes, he's the accuser, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Satan has been hurled down. You know, I have And I hate it every time it comes out of my mouth. It slips out every once in a while. Somebody asks you, for example, how you're doing, or has asked me how I'm doing, and maybe I'm going through a tough stretch, and my response, or maybe your response, has been at times pretty good under the circumstances. You know, as a believer, that is a pretty stupid response. Because as believers, we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. Satan is under our feet. And our circumstances are under our feet. So then, for us to respond in that way, and I say us because I just already admitted to you, I'm guilty. I've done it way too many times. But I'm trying to remember to shut my mouth until my brain's in here. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you have a tendency like me to open my mouth before my brain's in here? Always do something stupid when that happens. And that's what happens when we respond by saying, under the circumstances. We are not, as believers, under our circumstances. We are above them, and we need to remember that. Because Satan, the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before God day and night, has been hurled down. Somebody ought to be praising Jesus in the house. Says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and through the word of their testimony. See, that's why our testimony is so important. If our testimony is that we are under our circumstances instead of above them, that's not a very good testimony. But under the covering of the blood of the Lamb, see, we're given the robe of righteousness, which is the covering of the blood of the Lamb. Check it out in Scripture. It says it. Then we are the righteousness of God, and we are above and not beneath. Satan is always trying to make us believe that we are overcome by our circumstances. There's a lot of that going on right now in this country. I'm seeing way too many believers that are beat down because they either haven't been told or they've forgotten that they are above and not beneath, that they are the head and not the tail. So, therefore rejoice, it says in verse 12, you heavens and you who dwell in them. But check this out. Why do bad things happen to God's people? But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. After having said all I have said about being above and not beneath, and that's all true, we also need to understand we do have a very real adversary. Satan. Lucifer. He is our adversary. And we need to not take that lightly. We have an adversary, but God has given us the weapons to overcome the enemy. The words that come out of our mouth are very, very powerful. So it's important to think about what we say. The blood of the Lamb is very, very powerful. The Word of God is very, very powerful against the attacks of the enemy. We've talked about that different times when I have preached and taught on spiritual warfare. How many of you remember? Some hands better go up or I'll bring it up again. I'll dig back and dig that series out and polish it up. We'll be doing some spiritual warfare teaching. Because this stuff's important. And we are in a war right now, guys. We are in a war for the nations of the earth. We are in a war for the United States of America. It is trying, the cabal is trying to steal our nation.
That's right.
And along with it are freedoms. And if you haven't figured it out, you better figure it out. You're not going to hear that on mainstream news. Just tell them. You're not going to hear it there. Because the mainstream media is involved in it. All right? Now, I don't want to get too far off the rails with my message here, so I got to rein it back in. So we want to look at Satan's works. We want to look at his works so we, not to inflict fear on us, but to give us understanding of how he works. And that will give us an understanding of why bad things happen to God's people. But the thing is, when bad things happen to God's people, he equips us to keep going, to keep striving, to keep going, walking out life in Christ. He empowers us to still be overcomers, even going through the hard things that come into our lives. Because, listen, just because we're believers don't mean we won't go through hard things in our life. But the thing that makes it a beautiful thing is we've got Jesus walking through it with us. He don't never give up on us. You ready? We're going to go fast. Satan's works. The first one. He tempts us to disobey. How many of you would agree with that? He's always tempting us to disobey what God's will for is for our lives. Let's look at Genesis 3, verses 4 through 5. Genesis 3, verses 4 through 5. Got a preacher up here in the front row. So Satan tempts us to disobey, and in these two verses, it's the account of the serpent beguiling the woman. He says, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." He tempts us to disobey. It started in the garden. He made some accusations there. He made it look like God was intentionally holding something good back from Adam and Eve. That was what he was alluding to. And to get people thinking, he does the same thing today. All of Satan's tactics are the same today as they were in the Garden of Eden. They are the same today as the attacks were that he attacked Jesus with when Jesus went out for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted by the devil after he had been baptized by John the Baptist. Are you with me? Are you with me? You understand? Gotta move on. Second, he slanders the saints. Satan just absolutely loves to slander the saints. Job 1, 9 through 11 is where we want to look. If you're taking notes, jot that down. And these verses say in Job, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." Job was a righteous man. He was a blessed man. He had great wealth beyond what probably all of us could ever comprehend today. He had great wealth. So Satan goes to God as the accuser of the saints and says, "Son, have you considered Job? I have an accusation. My accusation is Job is only serving you like he does because he's so blessed by you. Take it all away, and he'll curse you." That's what we just read in layman's terms. That's what he said. I'm just breaking it down. Well, we know how that all turned out. Poor old Job, man, even his wife turned on him. Said, you sicken me. Just curse God and die. You're pathetic. She did that. Some help me. Some help me there. That's what she said. But guess what? Well, Satan was wrong. God told him, okay, you bring it. You do your worst to him. But you can't take his life. Because his life belongs to me. You can do everything else. And if you've read Job or heard preaching on it or both, you know how that story went. It was a long, hard-fought battle. And to put it bluntly, Job went through hell and back. He went through hell on earth. It was horrible what he went through. His family all died. His children all died. House fell in on him. He just kept getting bad news after bad news. Can you imagine? Bad things happen to God's people. And in this particular case, God was using Job to accomplish his will and letting Satan know, hey, listen, I got people that no matter what you do to them, they're going to serve me. They're not going to curse me, no matter what. Albeit that those people are hard to find today. I suspect they were then too. The kind of people that will go through something like that and still praise God. You see, Job ended up saying at one point, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. So Satan is a slanderer, and he slanders the saints. And because of that, sometimes when we're going through hard things, I wonder sometimes if it's God saying, take your shot. This one will still serve me. Take another shot. This one will still serve me. And by the way, in Job's case, because he stayed righteous, he got double for his trouble. He got double of everything back. Everything. That's the kind of God I want to serve. Next one. Satan inflicts the saints with disease. Satan inflicts the saints with disease. Job 2, 7 through 8 says, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. This poor guy was so miserable and so afflicted that he sat on an ash heap and took a broken piece of pottery and was scratching the sores all over his body. That's horrible. And God loves him. And he redeemed him. But he went through some stuff for God's glory. How many of the things that we go through in our life that we shake our fist at God for, is he merely holding us up before Satan and say, no, this one will stay serving me. So we need to think about that before we shake our fist at God, or worse. I've seen people do some pretty horrific things. Next, he opposes the righteous. He opposes the righteous. You know, when a person is no threat to Satan's kingdom, he leaves it alone. When a person is no threat, he just leaves them alone. But when you get on fire for God and start trying to live out the plan God has for your life, when you become the righteousness of Christ, through being born again. Then all of a sudden you get a target on your back. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
Boy, I'll tell you, I've had plenty of attacks since I got saved. It's been 39 years now. But by golly, I'll tell you what, my wife and I, my family, we've had some attacks. But guess what? We're still standing. We're still standing. Still smiling. Because God's on His throne. He's an awesome God. Zechariah 3, 1 and 2. He opposes the righteous. Zechariah 3, 1 and 2. It says, then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? Did you ever think about it? That's what we are when we get saved. We're likened to a burning stick that was snatched from the fire when we got saved. Satan opposes the righteous. Next one, he tempted Christ. Satan is so full of pride, he can't help himself. He actually thought that he could take Jesus after he had just been baptized. Jesus, of all people. We're talking about God. The Son of God. God. God in the flesh. And he had the audacity to think he could take him out into the wilderness and tempt him and make him do something outside of the parameters of what he came here to do, which is to redeem humanity. And in order to do that, he had to live his 33 and a half years on earth sinless. That's the only way the sacrifice of Christ on the cross would pay the whole price. Remember I mentioned earlier, I said he paid it in full. The only way Jesus qualified, the only way he was qualified to pay the price for our sin is that he would be sinless when he went to that cross and died for our sins. He had to be a spotless, sinless sacrifice without blemish. You with me?
Yes.
It had to be that way. It's the only way it could be. And then, because he did it, he was the ultimate sacrifice for all time. Matthew 4, verse 1 says, when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. There's an account of that in Luke as well. Next, Satan steals the good seed. You realize our lives consist of sowing and reaping, right? We sow, and after time, we reap. That's what our life consists of, according to the Word of God. When we sow to the flesh, we reap from... When we sow to the Spirit, we reap from... Yes. So you guys, you've been paying attention over the years. You've been learning. Matthew 13, verse 19. He steals the good seed. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. And this is the seed sown along the path. So we see the enemy is always doing what he can to steal the good seed. It's why before we leave here, many times, when I pray our final prayer, close out the service, many times I pray that God will guard our hearts and seal the word that's just been sown in our heart. Now you know why. Because Satan immediately wants to come and steal that. Did you ever notice that, I don't know if it happens to you, but I get tested on what I preach almost immediately. The week after I preach on Sunday, I preach something and I get tested on it following. My wife's like, man, don't be preaching that for a while. Because you get tested on it. Do you guys get tested on what I preach too when you leave sometimes? Yeah, we get tested on what we know, don't we? So Satan, you can count on him to steal the good seed if he can. So it's important that we guard our hearts. The seed is sown into our hearts. The Word of God is sown into our hearts. And we are called by the Word of God to guard our hearts. Why? Because out of it flows the wellspring of life. And then here's the other flip side of the problem. The next one is, he sows weeds. He steals the good seed and then he turns around and takes a bag of seed and goes around and starts spreading bad seed, weeds. If you're reading in the King James, it says tares. All right then. Another country heard from. Matthew 13, verses 38 and 39. Matthew 13, verses 38 and 39. It says, the field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. All explained right there in those two verses about what I was just telling you about Satan sowing the weeds. I believe we're coming into a time, I really believe this, that we are coming into a season where God is differentiating between the weeds and the true, his seed, the sheep. I believe we're coming into that season where I'm already seeing it happen. The reason I'm telling you this is because the evil that used to be hidden in the darkness has come out into the light. They're brazen and emboldened. You understand what I'm talking about? Have you noticed that? The evil has come out of the shadows and it is right in our faces now. Well, when things get like that, it's only a matter of time before God finally puts the smack down. And he's working on redeeming his people. Amen? Okay, next one. We gotta keep moving. That clock won't stop for me today at all. You know what I should have is a remote for the clocks. I'm going to look into that when they make the clock. Hey, it's in the Bible. You know, they won a war because God held back time. Isn't that right? Hey, what the heck? I got a lot to preach. I should be able to just stop that for 10 minutes or something. Okay, next one. He attacks the body and soul. He attacks the body and soul. Satan we're talking about. Luke 9, 42. Luke 9, 42. Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. Satan attacks the body and soul. And yes, people still get demon-possessed and demonized today. Yes, that still happens. There are people that believe that that doesn't happen anymore. That Satan is just a symbol of evil and so are demons. Well, they're more than a symbol of evil. They are a reality and we have to deal with it in this world. So there it is. I put it out there. Next one. Satan is the father of lies. See, all these things we're covering all have to do with why bad things happen to God's people. They all relate to that under that heading. John 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. He is the Father of lies. Jesus said, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there was no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan is the liar and the father of lies, and those that are part of his kingdom are liars as well. Now, I'm just going to put it out there. There are way too many politicians that I always know when they're lying because their lips are moving. And I'm sick of it. I just want the truth. That's all I want, is the truth. Sometimes I can't help myself. Is that true or not? Boy. Okay, last one. Satan preys on God's people. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Satan preys on God's people. Why does he do that? Because he hates us. Every time he sees a follower of Jesus Christ, it reminds him of how far he has fallen and the fact that there is no redemption for Satan. There's none. Every time he sees one of us, he's just filled with hatred. So if you ever wondered why Satan's been attacking you so hard, you must be doing something right. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Again, he prays on God's people. 1 Peter 5, Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Be self-controlled and alert. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So we've got to walk in the power of God's Spirit with the weapons of warfare. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the Word of God. Those are the weapons of our warfare. God help us, because for too long the church in this nation has been quiet. The word has not been being spoken. There are innumerable churches in this nation that stopped preaching out of the Bible. They started preaching out of other books. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. There's churches all over this nation. You know, every time my wife and I are on vacation, well, there might be one or two exceptions, but normally when we take some time off, we attend church somewhere. We just visit a church somewhere. So I love to do that because I like to see what's going on. We have visited churches sometimes, unfortunately, that when we left there, I didn't feel like I'd been to church at all. Isn't that true, honey? We look at each other and say, well, we'll never visit that one again. Because when we leave there, we never sensed any power of the Spirit of the living God. There was really no preaching in the Word. It was just fluff. Does somebody know what I'm talking about? I don't want it. I hope you're like me. I hope you need the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word, the Word, the Word. Did you know the Word saves? The Word saves. Jesus is the living Word. The Word saves. In closing, we live in a fallen world afflicted with sin. We all live in a fallen world. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. That's from the lips of Jesus. I'm glad he didn't quit there. He went on to say, but, I love it when there's one of them there, But take heart, because I have overcome the world. We are above and not beneath. We are the head and not the tail. We are in front and not behind.
Praise God.
As believers, let's stand together and give God praise. Give God praise. Together. Father, I just thank you again for this time that we have had together, and we do pray, Lord, that you would seal this word in our hearts, that, Lord, you would give us the recall of these words that we've heard today. Lord, I know I went through it fast, but I know by the power of your Spirit that we can hang on to that. We can have recall of it by the power of your Spirit. And I pray as we leave this place today, that, Lord, you will give us the unction through the power of your Spirit to speak up when you call us to give account. Yes. When we end up in those situations where we know we should speak up, but we're fearful, I pray that your Spirit would override that fear, and that we would operate in faith, and that we would go forth from this place in that power and bring the Word of God to a lost world. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.